Help all kids learn and grow with PBS Kids. Thank you for supporting your PBS station.
It's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading.
Should I or shouldn't I? That is the question. Do I stand and watch? Or am I gonna collect my courage and jump on board? You bet I'm gonna do it. This coaster is why I came to Six Flags Great Adventure. Whoa, here we go. Flutter around in my stomach. But there's really nothing to be nervous about because I've got a great seat. Now, all I have to do is just sort of sit back and relax and, you know, just go with the flow. I can't believe how fast we were going. I felt like my stomach was up here. I wonder how they get it to go so fast. How does the coaster stay on the track? And I've always wanted to know why we love scary rides like this so much. Well, I'm not the only one asking why and how. Here's a book about a guy who never stopped asking questions. In fact, he spent his life scrutinizing the world for answers. Now, most people thought he was wasting his time, but Archibald Frisbee proved them wrong.
Archibald Frisbee by Michael Chesworth. Read by Arnold Stang. This is the story of Archibald Frisbee, who was as crazy for science as any kid could be. Archibald was so smart and he read such a lot that he saw things in ways other people did not. He liked zoology, no doubt about that. You could tell by the way he looked at the cat. He had taken apart every kitchen appliance. They had given their lives in the interest of science. Other kids his own age, he just simply ignored. If I played at their games, I am sure I'd be bored. His mom, Mrs. Frisbee, was growing concerned. because of the things that her Archibalds burned. One day in his room, where he had been for hours, she caught him red-handed, dissecting her flowers. She was called by his school and wondered, what next? He'd been found at recess with an algebra text. Well, the good Mrs. Frisbee soon thought it horrific. Her child obsessed with all things scientific. So she turned off his Mac, and she booted him out to a camp where he'd find what fun was about. He begged and he pleaded. He let his mom know that he had things to do and did not want to go. But poor Archibald, Mom would not hear his side. So he sat back and squared himself for the ride. When they got to the camp, she hugged him and said, "Forget science a while. Have a good time instead." As he observed her car speed away out of sight, he wondered if maybe his mother was right. But old habits die hard, and though he felt blue, he still ran a few tests on the mulligan stew. While the other kids told their tall tales by the fire, Archibald's thoughts were considerably higher. At craft time, the campers made things for their mothers. What Archibald made was like none of the others. Nature walks in the woods he did not want to miss. What a beautiful day for photosynthesis. In a contest to see who could build the best kite, Archibald's took first prize with a world record height. Online at the fountain, he made everyone think of the earth and the sky and the water they drink. The campers decided Frizz was the man to explain to the counselors their recycling plan. For the scavenger hunt, his group needed pine cones. Instead, they came back with some very old bones. At the last game of summer, campers versus the staff, when Arch came to bat, they tried hard not to laugh. But to win the ball game, he gave his assistance by plotting the angle of maximum distance. His teammates exploded with cheers, whoops, and cries. It was better than winning his first Nobel Prize. And Archibald thought, as he sat with his friends, it's sad all experiments must come to their ends. When his mother arrived, she was bursting with joy. "I just cannot believe this is my little boy." With the car loaded up and departure time near, Arch said, "Hey, I've forgotten my best souvenir. I hope it fits, Mom. It's kind of big."
Archibald asks questions about everything. He spent most of his time searching for answers by looking very closely at his whole world. Now, you'd be surprised at the things you can figure out simply by observing.
Look at those wheels hugging the track on three sides. The wheels actually guide the cars along the track. I guess that's the roll in roller coaster.
What I don't see is a motor. How does it go so fast without an engine?
See that chain? The cars hook onto it. That chain pulls the whole train to the top of the first big hill. Once you get to the top, the chain releases the cars and gravity takes you the rest of the way. That first huge drop gives the train enough speed to continue through the entire ride without a motor. It's sort of like when you ride your bike. You've got to work really hard to reach the top of the hill. But then, it's smooth sailing all the way down. I guess that's the coast in Roller Coaster.
Looking closely at things can help you answer lots of your own questions. Now, that's something scientists do every day. And what scientists see can lead to answers that change our lives.
Take the case of inventor George de Mestral. While walking in the woods, he noticed that burrs kept getting stuck to his clothing. He wondered why. He observed the burrs under a microscope and found they were covered with tiny hooks. It was these hooks that got caught in the fabric of his clothes. This observation gave him an idea. Why not invent a fastener that would stick things together like burrs stick to clothing? He imitated nature and came up with a fastener that works with these tiny hooks and loops. His discovery changed the look and the sound of things we use every day. How do you design a car that will protect the passengers inside? Scientists have been working on this question for a long time, and the answer is no accident. Some researchers examined wrecked cars, searching for clues about how accidents and injuries can be prevented. In one very early experiment, an egg crashes in a miniature car. The result? Scrambled egg. But when the egg is strapped to the seat, observe one of the very first seat belts. But how do you determine the effects of a car accident on the human body? Well, there are some things only a dummy would try. This is a crash test dummy. Scientists designed them to move exactly like people do. Each dummy has a computer inside that keeps track of what happens to the body during a crash. Special cameras film a collision from every angle so scientists can see exactly what happened. Then they watch the crash in slow motion, over and over again, to figure out how real passengers can be protected. By observing crash test dummies, scientists can answer questions about car safety. Why is it so important to buckle up? How do airbags protect us? Scientists observing in the laboratory make us safer on the road. Scientists planning space missions faced this question. How could human beings live and work in space without gravity? To observe how people might move in space, scientists needed to simulate weightless conditions right here on Earth. Moving underwater feels a lot like moving in space. So to learn more about weightlessness, scientists watched astronauts in a swimming pool. They also put an airplane through special dives and spins to create the effects of weightlessness. This gave scientists some idea of what might happen to astronauts during actual space flights. eating and drinking without gravity was a challenge, to say the least. Everything from M&Ms to juice just floated around the cabin. At first, they solved this problem by putting food in squeezable tubes. But it tasted pretty awful. Later, trays were designed to hold containers of the astronauts' favorite foods. And how do you sleep 200 miles above the Earth? Well, you strap yourself into one of these sleeping bags so you don't drift around the cabin. And no pillow required. You're literally floating on air.
Taking a close look can often answer your questions. And here's another technique that you can use every day to help you figure things out. It's called trial and error. I'll show you what I mean. This is the frog game. Object of the game is you take this mallet, you hit this gizmo here, catapulting Froggy onto the lily pads over there. Sounds simple enough? Let's give it a try. Well, it seems as though I need to experiment, try a different approach. How about this time? How about this time I hit a little harder? Okay? We'll see what that gets us. Boy, this isn't as easy as it looks. So I need to adjust my strategy, find a different way to do it. How about if this time I turn the catapult a little, really take good aim, and give it a little more body English? You know what I mean? Okay, here we go. Success! Thanks. The thing about this game is you need to try a few different ideas. Experiment a little bit. Use some trial and error.
Whether they're jumping, spinning, or soaring through the air, top athletes work hard to achieve performances that take our breath away. High jumper Yolanda Henry is one of those athletes. Yolanda works with biomechanist Jesus De Pena and coach Sue Humphrey, experimenting until they find the right moves for the perfect jump.
But that should be like,
but the knee is going to go up first,
then go back.
The human body functions like a machine. And it's just that the motors of this machine are very special. They're muscles.
Neither my legs.
And people in biomechanics are trying to understand how the human body functions as a machine.
Very quickly that way.
When I'm going like this, high jumping is very technical, and you just can't, I mean, you don't have eyes in the back of your head, and you need someone, you know, they're watching you, watching where you take off, because you can't sit there and watch your takeoff.
In order to know how the athlete is moving during the jump, we have to set up two cameras that will shoot the athlete during the jumps. Once the cameras are set up, then it's time to film the actual jumps by the athlete. A high jump is made up of three parts. You have a run-up, you have a takeoff, and then you have the part where you're in the air. It's called the bar clearance.
Now that Jesus has filmed the jump from beginning to end, he projects the pictures onto a special screen and begins to enter the information into his computer.
We feed the positions of those points of the body into a computer. What we end up with is with something like a cartoon animation that allows us to see that jump as it would appear from any particular direction that we want to see it from, even if we didn't have a camera filming from that direction during the actual jump itself. Then I meet with the athlete and the coach, and I say, well, I think that there's this problem in the motions, and this is how you can fix it.
Up and then back. My first reaction seeing myself, I was like, give me some hair, first of all. My first reaction was like, oh, this is really neat because I've just been hearing from years and years what I need to do, but never seen it done on the screen. You know, I'm picturing it in my mind from just seeing it on the screen.
About there?
Now, here's where the computer can save the athlete lots of work. Jesus uses the computer to show how small changes in Yolanda's technique might improve her jump.
So get their knees down and get their
It's a kind of computerized trial and error.
Square on top of the bar. Anyway, okay, what we have here is the original jump. And the original jump, you have a very good run-up, a very good takeoff. Those parts are very good. They've always been very good in your technique. The weakest point in your technique has been what you do on top of the bar. What we have here is a simulated jump in which we've had you do the same run-up and the same takeoff as in the original jump, but in this jump, after takeoff, we make you flex your legs more. That has the effect of getting your hips to be much higher so you can clear the bar with your legs much better. This would be an advantage of about 2 inches in the height that you could clear.
So by just bending my knees, I can clear about 6'9".
Bending your knees is what you're looking for.
To me, basically, it is seeing yourself doing something over and over again from point A to point Z the right way.
Good question for you. What makes corn pop? I don't know, but I do know that the answers to lots of questions come in good books. So here are three that would satisfy the curiosity of even Archibald Frisbee, but you don't have to take my word for it.
Hi, my name is Max, and I'm interested in how things work. How about you? If you are, this is the book to read. It's called What Makes Popcorn Pop? And it's not just about popcorn. Here are some examples of fascinating science questions that are answered in this book. What is house dust? Well, it's made up of particles from soil, sand, flowers, and many other things. Here's one. Why do we shiver? Well, basically, our muscles move to keep us warm, kind of like when we exercise. And what does make popcorn pop? A tiny bit of water inside each kernel turns to steam when it's exposed to heat. That makes the kernel explode, and voila, you've got popcorn. If you're curious like me, you have to read this book. I don't mean to be pushy, but What Makes Popcorn Pop is sure to be fascinating reading.
Hey, how do bubbles get into fizzy drinks? Why is grass green? Questions, questions, questions. Here's a book with the answers. It's called I Wonder Why Soap Makes Bubbles. Do you know why rainbows happen? Or what sound is? The answers are all here. They even give you experiments you can do at home. There are funny pictures, diagrams, cartoons. There's art on every page. I'm Hazrik, and I have one last question for you. Will you please read this book? I guarantee you it's the best.
Everyone loves a good magic trick. I do a great one with cards. Here's a bunch of books with excellent magic for you. The Science Magic Series. Each book is about a different part of the natural world.
There's one about air, water, light, and sound. I'm Nabaway, and I think there are some neat tricks in these books. There's the amazing black box and the crazy color wheel. The pictures in the books are photographs, and they tell you exactly what to do. If you read all of these books, you could probably be a star magician and a pretty good scientist, too. They should definitely be a part of your future.
Ta-da! Isn't that amazing? The question is, why does the water stay in the glass? Well, believe it or not, the air pressing up against this plate is actually stronger than the water pressing down. The world is full of brain-teasing, head-tickling, mind-bending questions. So, the next time one pops into your head, use your powers of observation, experiment with a little trial and error, or look in a book. Just remember, you have all the tools you need to find the answers. I'll see you next time.
Today's Reading Rainbow books are Archibald Frisbee by Michael Chesworth, published by Farrar, Straus, and Giroux. What Makes Popcorn Pop? And Other Questions About the World Around Us by Dr. Jack Myers, published by Boyd's Mills Press. I Wonder Why Soap Makes Bubbles? And Other Questions About Science by Barbara Taylor, published by Kingfisher. The Science Magic Series by Chris Oxlade, published by Barron's.